We're going to go to the book of Timothy today, 1st and 2nd Timothy. And so a couple things about today, obviously, for those we have a ministry here that's on the internet and people listen, and today's going to be a great day for us, a day of celebration, as a young man that we love his family, both sides. Drew Bogus is baptized today. And so I was wanting to decide which way to go with a message. So even coming in today, there was a lot of motivation, pro and con. I had great friends like Brittany Franks, since you look forward to hearing me. Sonny Corn Friday night asked me at the football game, said he was coming, and he said, "What are you going to speak about?" And I said, "Whatever Charles Stanley preaches about on TV at 9 o'clock Saturday morning." And then Jeff Kuhn told me he definitely hoped that my speaking skills were better than my golf game. So you've got to take, and then, but it gets worse, Jeff. I said, if I fall in up here, I don't want Patsy to come pull me out. I'm afraid she's just going to push down. So, but no, it's just great to see everybody here. And this is a day, like I said, that we'd celebrate, that we're going to celebrate. And I was thinking with this, it's just not Drew. This is a celebration, not just but also for this body of Christ, not just this church, but this community of believers in Waynesboro, in this area. Because when I look, I see so many people here from other churches that are Christians, strong Christians, believers, people of faith. I live beside them, I know them, I work with them, I've known them for years, ever since I've been here, and there's no doubt. And what they have done, people here and people that Drew knows, people in his family, friends, they have set an example. Each one of you play a part of this. And you may say, well, I really, I don't know Drew that well. I go to church here. What part have I played in it? You're here. You've been faithful. You've been here. When Drew comes to church on Sunday, he sees you here. That means more than you'll ever know. People who are around him constantly live a Christian life around him. They set an example, young and old, and I'm going to get to that. So every person here plays a distinct part today in Drew's salvation and Drew's baptism today. And we can't thank you enough for that. So last week, we spoke about Timothy, and we spoke about faithfulness. And Timothy was part of the scripture that we went to. Not only God's faithfulness, but our faithfulness. And there was a perfect scripture in there where Paul said, Timothy, you've been raised in the scriptures. You've been raised in the faith by your mother and your grandmother. Continue. And I said, that's perfect. The Lord told me that's perfect for today. It's so reminiscent of Drew. Drew has been raised by a Christian family. He's been raised around Christian people. He's had a Christian influence. He's seen those lives around him. He understands. He knows. So when he gave his heart to the Lord, it just wasn't something, I believe I'll do this. He knew. So what I take from Timothy, we can apply that there. But Timothy also got to be older and more mature in his Christian walk. So there's more to take from Timothy for all of us. So that's where I want to go today. So a little background about Timothy. Timothy was from Lystra of Derbe in Asia Minor. He had a Jewish mother and a Greek father. His mother Eunice became a Christian believer, and Timothy was raised in the faith. His grandmother Lois was also a devout member of the church. When Paul came back to Lystra for the second time, Timothy was already an established member. Timothy was active in Paul's missionary journeys. He co-authored 2 Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 2, and Philemon. Paul wrote in Philippians that he had no one else like Timothy to help him. When Paul was in the last stages of death row, he summoned for Timothy to come and see him. Timothy was the first Christian bishop of Ephesus. Legend says that he died in AD 97 at the age of 80. And he died a martyr. There was a possession of the goddess Diana, and he tried to stop it to preach the gospel. Legend says he was beaten, he was dragged through the streets, and he was stoned to death. And that's the belief of how he died, and scholars believe that as well. But Timothy was once new in the faith and new in the ministry. We think of him being a very young man when the epistles were written. But 1 Timothy was written about 64 to 65 AD, which would have put him around 47, 48 years old. He went to Paul initially in AD 52 when he was 35. So he grew up in the faith and he became a believer in Christianity. So Timothy, from a youth to growing up, there may not be anybody else in the New Testament that we look at and see an example of as we do him. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now, most of this is going to be from Timothy. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So I want you to apply, think about when you think about your own Christian witness, I want you to think about Timothy. A lot of times we think about people who speak for Christ, who maybe are in the ministry, who are believers, who go speak to people, who testify, who witness, just living an everyday Christian life. And we think about those people as just really being buttoned up. Okay? I'm a perfect example of not being buttoned up. Okay? And Timothy also had his issues. When Timothy was called to the ministry, Timothy had a lot of things in his life that were less than perfect. Number one, he had a spirit of timidity. He did not have a type A personality. There's several instances here where he might have said, I'm not a good speaker. I'm nervous. I'm scared to go to these people. That's natural. When we want to maybe talk to people about the Lord or we want to share, we can feel nervous about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 10. So Paul's speaking to the church at Corinth. And Timothy's going to come see them. And he says, now, if Timothy comes, see that he has no reason to be afraid while among you. For he is doing the Lord's work, and so am I. Timothy had fear when he went to these places. And you say, that may just be one example. Go to 2 Timothy. And I'm not going to have you going all over the Bible. Most of everything we do is going to be from Timothy. So 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to go verses 6 through 9, but we'll start out verses 6 through 7. Verses 6 and 7. So Paul is talking to Timothy. And like I said, when he goes to 2 Timothy, he's basically in his last days on death row. Okay, he doesn't have long to live. He's calling in individuals that he needs to continue the ministry. And first and foremost, it's Timothy. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. So Paul says to Timothy, for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. Now here we go. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity. I think King James said a spirit of fear. But of power and love and discipline. So this is what the Spirit has given us. But you understand, Timothy constantly may have had a fear issue. He was timid. He had an issue where he wasn't sure of himself. He had a lack of confidence. And we can all have that. Now, we love to use this verse and say, if we have a lack of confidence, That's not what God gave us. God gave us power, love, discipline. And we love to quote that and we love to motivate ourselves about that. And Paul was motivating Timothy here, but you got to understand, he did it for a reason. Timothy had a constant lack of confidence as a person could just go out and speak and share. Even though he was very effective, he always fought that. I think there were several reasons, and we'll get into a couple of those. Look at verses 8 and 9. He says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. So let's hang on right there. Timothy also went through a stage, I believe, where he was ashamed of Paul. Okay? So Paul is destitute. We know that from Philippians. He's got nothing. He's constantly in jail. And I'm not talking about the county jail with direct TV and 3 square meals a day and a nice cot. Okay? I'm talking about a nasty, filthy Roman jail in inhumane conditions, constantly beaten. Okay, all those things, starved, damp, sickly, chained to a Roman soldier. That's why he spent a lot of his life. So Paul's constantly facing this. Okay? Number one, individuals say, well, Paul was not an apostle. He wasn't with Christ for 3 years. He didn't see him. That was one of the qualifications of being an apostle. So Paul constantly had to defend himself because of that. We know that Paul, through preaching grace and not works, was constantly attacked as a false prophet. He constantly had to defend himself against that. But also, there were a lot of Christian individuals, I could say Christian loosely maybe, who said, Paul, if he was really a believer and he was in God's good graces, he wouldn't be in this spot. You know, you hear people say, if somebody gets sick or something happens or bad things happen in your life, well, it's because you've sinned. It's because you've done something wrong. You're being punished. God, in the age of, that doesn't happen. Okay, so don't think that anything that's happened to you, health-wise, family-wise, finances, anything like that, is because you committed some sin. We're in a fallen world. We all know that. And there's none more faithful than Paul. And look what Paul was going through. And individuals were telling Timothy, look, what's he done wrong? If he was like Peter and John and James, they're scot-free in Jerusalem. They're not having all these issues. Look at Paul. And Paul was poor, in prison. He hears all these things. And Timothy was ashamed of Paul. And Paul had to say, don't be ashamed of me. And also, in verse 8 and 9, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. So we got plenty of young people here. You're going to be in high school, you're in college, you're out there in the world, and it can be overwhelming. It can be overwhelming. And you can say, I'm nervous about this. I don't have confidence. You're not alone. Okay? You're not the first. A lot of us have been in that situation. Timothy was in that situation. Use Timothy as an example for what Timothy accomplished. Less than perfect. Okay? So he also had health issues. You don't have to turn here. You can write this down. But 1 Timothy 5, chapter 5, verse 23. A lot of us have heard this scripture before. Do not go on drinking only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and frequent ailments. So Paul told that to Timothy. Okay? And he said, do that for your ailments. They didn't have all, obviously, the advanced medicine that we have today and the hospitals and everything that go with that. I mean, it was really, really almost caveman doctrine, I guess you could say. I don't even know the word archaic. I don't know the word you would use. But that's what they had to do. Giles is teething, all right? So we had a girl tell us yesterday, I'll tell you how to stop it, okay? Take a boiled egg, put it in a sock, and hang it over a doorstop. I didn't make it up. So that's what we do. So what I thought was, okay, we're going to try it, I promise you. We are going to try it, okay? And so anyway, that's what a lot of what their medicine consisted of. Everything they didn't, it wasn't advanced. It was home remedies and wives' tales and things like that. So, but Timothy had frequent stomach ailments, okay? And so, number one, he doesn't have confidence. Number two, he's sickly. But God still called him. He calls less than perfect humans to do his work. Timothy is considered the patron saint of stomach and intestinal disorders by the Roman Catholic Church. So when they pray to saints, when they have that, that's who they pray to for any of that. So it was well known he had that. Okay? Now, I take a look at his lack of confidence. So, he's sickly. Number two, he's raised by his mother and his grandmother. So he's raised, from what we understand, totally by women. Okay? So he's got these issues. And growing up, you're a sickly kid. There's not a dad in the house and all that or any of that. You don't have that kind of influence. You can get picked on by other kids. Kids can be cruel. So you can get picked on by them. They can make your life miserable. And I think all this lack of confidence of being meek and timid was probably something that Timothy had his whole life. So when Timothy was growing up, if we could go back and look, we're like, that's not going to be the guy that helps Paul in his missionary journeys. That's not going to be the guy that establishes the churches, but it was. God uses flawed individuals. We don't have to be perfect. He's not asking us to be perfect. Remember last week, what was the one thing we said God required? Faithfulness. And Timothy had it. Okay? Now, let's go from Timothy. Let's go to the people around him. Let's talk about Lois and Eunice. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Let's go to Lois and Eunice, the mom and grandmother. Now, this is where the rest of us come in. Okay? This is where the rest of us come in. Couple things about Lois and Eunice, and Paul mentions them quite often. Number one, they had a sincere faith. The first thing about Lois and Eunice, they had a sincere faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And Paul tells Timothy, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelled in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. This was not a hypocritical faith. You know, your family sees you behind closed doors and they know who the real you is. Others may not outside, but those in the house with you that live with you, they know. They know. Your wife knows. Your husband knows. Your kids know. Your parents know. They know the real you. So this was a sincere faith. And they set a great example. I told you this growing up. My mom and dad, especially my dad, was the most devout person I've ever met. Ethical, moral person I've ever met in my life. Ever. And so I knew how sincere he was, and he doesn't just talk it, he walked it. And I know that. And for you here that don't know my story, and I don't want to make that as much about me, but I want to go into something, and then what Leo told me later on, I couldn't live up to that standard. Now, they were so much into works that you had to be perfect. You've heard me say all this, and I'm not going to go into that. And I said, you know what? I tried this tangent. I can't do it. I can't live to that standard, so there must not be anything to it. And I went unsaved till 6 years ago. I was in my early 50s. Okay? And Cleo and I have talked about it same way. Okay? But God, thank God he saved me. And Leo told me this a year or two after I was here. And he said, you know something? He said, your mom and dad sowed that seed. They, when things got tough and you were in a situation where Morgan was sick, you knew what to do. You knew that you had to pray for her, but you knew you weren't a Christian. I'm in a situation I can't even pray for. God knew a long time ago that's what it would come down to, but the seed that they laid or that they sowed, the example that they set, is the reason I'm a Christian today. Coming up in that kind of household with those kind of people, or even if it's not in those households, being around a Christian community and having Christian examples, that's why it's so important. I can tell you in my own life, it's huge. Okay? So Paul says he believes that Timothy's sincere faith was passed down from his mother and his grandmother. Now, I said this last week. So, a couple months ago, I went down to the bank. Jared said, come here, I want to talk to you a minute. I'm going to rehash your story. So, well, I told last week. So he said, you know, I think the Lord's dealing with Drew. He's asking questions. He's curious. And I said, it's going to be a matter of when, not if. It's going to happen. It's going to happen soon. I said, this is the same exact conversation I had with Patsy in August 2024. Was it not? About KB. It sure was. Same exact conversation. So when I got that text 2 weeks ago from Jared, I wasn't surprised. Couldn't have knocked me over with a feather. It was just like, hey, it's cloudy, it's 10 degrees outside, it's doing something, it must be snowing. That's about the way it was. It didn't surprise me at all. But the thing that I said that really impressed me, and I'm so thankful for, because coming up in this church, not with me, but with coming up under Brother Leo and coming up under Christian parents on both sides, they knew what the gospel was. So when Drew told them, yes, I want to accept Christ, they didn't have to go to Wikipedia. They didn't have to go Google. They didn't have to call me. They didn't have to call the neighbor around the street. Let's pray for this right quick, Lord. We pray for these first responders. You know the situation. And we pray for safety for all of them, Lord. We pray just that you would know the situation, Lord, and you would intervene. We pray this in your name. Amen. So I'm sorry. So anyway, they didn't have to go everywhere and say, hey, how does somebody get saved? They knew. So just like Eunice and Lois knew, Jerry and Ginger knew. And they were able to pass that down. Okay? Just like Jeremy and Christy knew. They were able to pass it down. Their grandparents know. Their families know. Okay? So it's so important that we share that they see that in our lives, okay? And that they understand the gospel. Now, speaking of that, they also taught Timothy the scriptures. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 15. So Lois and Eunice had a sincere faith. They also taught Timothy the scriptures. Now, this was the scripture that I used last week, okay? That I just looked, that the Lord told me, hey, this is, you've already got your message for this week. So 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 15. You, Timothy, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. So there's three things there. You learned it, you became convinced of it, you knew it, you had faith, there was never a doubt, and knowing from whom you have learned them. I look at this perfectly here. Drew learned it. He had faith in it. He didn't have a doubt. He's not praying to some statue or the wall or something like that. He's praying to God. And he has faith in that. And he knows where he learned them. And that from childhood, you have known the sacred writings. So from childhood, it started early. Okay? You knew the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the only place it comes from. They didn't have to guess. They didn't have to search. Timothy knew. He got it from his mother and his grandmother. Being reared in the scriptures and the Bible is something a person will never forget, no matter how far away they get away from God. I can go back and think when I was a kid, and I think a lot of you my age or older even can do the same thing. You go back when you was a kid at church, and in your mind, you can think of every person where they sat, who they were, where they sat. Every person. Every person. And that individual, I might have been 8 and they might have been 80. But you think what kind of influence that would have. And I think you all can, and you think that had influence. Their faithfulness to come to church. You know, the only thing that keeps the church, where it's Green River, where it's First Baptist, whether it's here, the only thing that keeps the doors from closing is you. Your faithfulness just to come to church, to keep the doors open where your children can hear the gospel. And they hear it at home, but all that's so important. So each one of you, just by your faithfulness, if nothing else, coming on Sunday morning, set such a perfect example, and it's so helpful to the salvation of our young people. Okay? My mom used to say this all the time. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Man, they were believers in that. If you raised your child up, it didn't matter how far away they got, and it might be situations where you're a praying mother, and you say, man, I did the right thing. I sowed the seed. They heard it growing up. They know. According to this, they'll be back. Just like I did. I knew when the rubber hit the road and when I hit that wall, I knew where I had to turn. I didn't have to guess. I knew. I'd been away from it for years. I knew. And it's because of their everything that they had done in raising me the right way. Okay? Now, Ephesians 6:4. You don't have to turn there, but write this down. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay? So nurture and admonition in Ephesians 6:4. What do those words mean? Okay? Nurture is in the Greek, paideia. P-A-I-D-E-I-A. That's not the quarterback at Vanderbilt. Close. But anyway, that is the broad concept of child training, discipline, instruction, and building character. That's nurture. Discipline, instruction, building character. As a parent, you not only want to build character in your kids, you want to build a Christian character. You want them to be good citizens, but you want them to be a good Christian too. Okay? So it's the broad aspect of parenting. Okay? We see so much today of that that's gone out the window. No instruction, no discipline. Miss Hickman, they just want to be their buddies. Parents want to be their buddies now. They don't. Hey, I knew my mom and dad, trust me, I knew the parameters. And you did too. A lot of you growing up. It wouldn't. They were the head of the house. When they said jump, I said hell high. Okay? Now, you may think and look at that, and people will say today, oh, that's horrible. That's horrible. The way parents, their kids that way, I'm going to tell you what. I appreciate it. I can say that Coach Cruz and Coach Franks and all the other coaches in here has never had a player come back to them and say, you were too tough on me and I resent it. I never have. They come back and say, thank you for giving the discipline that you gave me. When I coached at Martin Methodist, our head coach, I was assistant coach, Chuck Benson, he stepped down for a day. He was about ready to have a nervous breakdown. And he stepped away for a day. Ask JJ. So he stepped away for a day, and the guys, he was all about structure and discipline. I say this, I think our girls and guys can tell you, if you're a college athlete, somebody will tell me, I want to be a college athlete. And I say, are you ready for your day to be planned out from 7 in the morning to midnight? From breakfast check to weights to automatic class, they come back and check, and you better be sitting in the front row in the center. Your grades, your study hall, your practice, your bed check, your curfew, 7 days a week. Okay? But you know what happens? It sounds awful. But you take that away from them. So when Coach Benson was out, they got that day and they didn't have that structure. They didn't know what to do. They craved it. They thought at the time, they thought they might not have liked it till they didn't have it. And I hear children say all the time, or parents say all the time, and teachers, especially teachers, Patsy, children want structure. Young people want structure. They really do. They don't. They may say they want to be turned loose, but if they have it, then they don't know what to do when it's gone. They want that. That is paideia. There's also admonition. That's nouthesia, N-O-U-T-H-E-S-I-A. That's instruction, warning, calling attention to in mild rebuke or guidance. Boy, I got a lot of mild rebuke and guidance when I was a kid. Lot of it. It makes you a better person. That's what God does. And that's what they did to Timothy. And they're saying here in the Bible, that's the way you are to raise your kids. Okay? Now finally, they also had an influence on Timothy. Turn to Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. I'm almost done. Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. They had an influence on Timothy, his mom and his grandmother did. Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Okay. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds. They're watching. They're watching. You've got to have an influence. With purity, in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame and have nothing bad to say about us. So, setting that example on multiple fronts, it has an influence. Okay? Now, let me say this. I'm going to transfer right quick from adults. And this is probably the highlight of what I have to say. I want to say it to the other people here, young people we have. We've got them in middle school. We've got them in high school. We've got them in college. And I think Drew will tell you this, but if he won't, I'll say it for him because I know I'm around him every day. And so I was around, Drew's a member of the football team now, basketball team, and I coached basketball out there with Coach Franks for too long. So anyway, no, I didn't. My best times of my life. There's nobody in the world I love more than Coach Franks, and I think he knows that. In fact, I had a lady or a guy ask Missy the other day that covered up her pool, and she said, is your husband and Coach Frank? He was from Richland. He said, your brother and Coach Franks, are your husband and Coach Franks, are they brothers? And she said, no, they just act alike. So, but anyway, in that program, we were around them every day. Practice, games, all that stuff. I'm so thankful for the Christian influence that it came at Campfield, that a Warren Campfield, that a Logan Davis had. I can't tell you how thankful I am. They lived it every day. And you know what happens? Drew, as a younger person, sees that. And Drew sees that and he says, you know what? I want what they've got. It's not so bad to be a Christian. They're okay. Okay? They set that example. These guys go to the middle school and the high school and they'll tell you, their kids swarmed them. They swarmed them. They're athletes. Everybody, when you're a kid, you love that stuff. And you want to be around older kids like that. I was around so many that were the exact opposite. You got the bad influence. They were a great influence. I know Friday night, Molly was looking for her son, Braden. And she was looking around and she said, oh, I should have known. He's over there. He's in seventh grade. She said, oh, I don't know. He's over there behind Cayman. They set an example. So Drew sees that. And KB sees that. Okay? And others see that. Okay? Casey, who's also a believer. Now, I tell them, you be an example for these others coming up. You've seen it. You've seen it from them. You set the example now for these other ones coming up, that they can look at you and say, I want what he's got. What Emma did, what Blair did, what Kelly did, what Lauren did. They set incredible examples for the girls. Okay? Like I said, I can't tell you how thankful I am. And when they're held FCA now, I know not all of them that come in are sincere, and it's what their friends do, and it's something to do, but I see how many are when the FCA meets once a week in the gym, and I hold the back door open, they just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. Because people set ahead of them, young people set, were proper role models and influenced them. Okay? Now, Proverbs 1:8-9 says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not ignore your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful wreath for your head and necklaces for your neck. This brings honor and grace to a person's life, this instruction. If you follow it, it brings grace. It brings beauty. In the modern day complex, we would replace wreath and diamonds with diamonds and necklaces. And the best clothes that you could possibly wear. You're in style. It's attractive. And he's saying here that if you follow the correct instruction, that makes you attractive. That is attractive in God's eyes, but it's also attractive in other people's eyes. You see people every day in their actions, and my mom used to say it all the time, that makes them totally unattractive just by the way they act. It makes them unattractive. I had a coach. He was old school, man. We're talking about a football coach back 40 years ago. Those were old school guys. And I remember he told us, he said, guys, he said, you can build a lifetime trying to build your reputation. You can destroy it in 5 seconds. And that's true. And he also used another phrase. He said, God don't make trash, but he said, we do enough of that ourselves, good enough job of that ourselves. God don't make it. So, how we act, okay, has such a bearing and attractiveness, not only to God, but to other people. We can set an example. Okay? One other thing. We can set an example in what may have been less than perfect circumstances. Okay? Acts 16:1-3. We can set an example, and this is for all of us. You may say things are not going great in my life right now. I may have financial problems. My health may be bad. I just may be in a cold spot in my Christian walk. I may be having family issues. God can use you in less than perfect circumstances. I want these young people to understand that it's not always just going to be a perfect primrose path. But God can use you. So Acts 16, 1 through 3. Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brothers and sisters who were in Lystra and Iconium. So they already, he already at that young age, this is the first mention of Timothy. He was already well spoken of. But it wasn't perfect circumstances. His dad most likely was not a believer. He's never been mentioned. So he came up in the Christian faith despite that. And a lot of scholars believe his dad died at an early age. So if that happens, you're talking about a kid with no confidence, who's sickly, who's raised by women, who doesn't have a dad that's passed away. God used him. There are no circumstances that are too bad for God to use us. Some scholars, like I said, feel like he died when he was young. But Timothy still had enough parental influence and a Christian life of high character for God to use him. That's what my challenge is today. It's my challenge to Drew. It's a challenge to young people. It's middle-aged, old, whoever you are. Let God use you. Be a, you say, how can he use me? I can't do anything. You can be a positive influence. We all can be a positive influence as a Christian. We can all set examples for others. And remember, they're watching. I've got to keep that in mind every day. They're watching. They're watching. They'll see how we act. I can remember the good and the bad from my childhood from people who said they were Christians. Don't be that bad. And when you're, like I said, as a youngster now, as a high schooler, as a college age, as middle school age, okay? Be that positive influence to others. Not only are you growing and you're watching other people, they're watching you. So let's go from today knowing that let's help each other grow. Let's help each other grow. We're in the body together, and it's a wonderful thing. Nobody's greater than the other. We're all equal in God's sight in the body, and we all have something that we can do. We all have something that we can provide.